Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
About to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carlin DeBott. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Joined in the studio today by the producer of the year, Kelly Frost Jr.
That is very nice, Carl.
You are the producer of the year. You're the producer every day. You are the man.
It is fun.
You are the man. And speaking of being the hero of the year, my soulmate, Linda.
Oh, is that wonderful?
I'm just petting everybody.
You're full
today.
Of it today, honey.
I am petting everybody today.
Well, speaking of wonderful, we do know that we have a weekly segment where we have Joe Adamson calling in to keep you motivated. In fact, I'm in my gym clothes because I'm going right after our show today, or we're going. So let's go to the phones and talk to Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Linda and Carl.
Okay, what's your...
She may be a little more motivated than I am.
What's your fit tip?
My fit tip this morning is don't assume you can't. In fact, in the fitness world, can't is like a four-letter word. Oftentimes that we will just assume that we can't do something because someone has told us, oh, you've had a knee surgery or whatever, you can't run. Or maybe we tried it once and it just felt horrible, and so we just assume that because it felt horrible the first time, we would never be able to do that. Let me give you an example. About several years ago, I went out for a run, jog around my neighborhood after I had, had a knee injury a couple years earlier. So I hadn't really done much with my lower body, and it just felt like my kneecaps were going to blow off. And I remember thinking to myself, my running days are over. Well, they weren't over. I just had to work back into it slowly and, just get them readjusted. So oftentimes we go, I can't do it. I can't do a deep squat. I can't run anymore and so forth. In reality, we just have to step back and ease into it. And it's amazing what you can do. Just give it some time.
Well, Joe, we've started with on your tips, we were saying, hey, one, just get out and go for a walk. You
Absolutely.
Can do it. You don't need a bunch of equipment. And we're working through that. You have partners that you keep going. And then now it's that, hey, don't use the word can't. You just, nope. Some perseverance here, and you're going to obtain your goals.
Absolutely. We had a gal in yesterday, did our really tough circuit class, and she, on a fitness level 1 to 10, she was a 1, and I was even a little bit scared, but we encouraged her, hey, just try it, we'll make modifications. She just did fine. So it was just one more realization that you just go for it and you'll get through it.
And I'm sure very rewarding for her that I actually did that. Well,
oh, she was stoked.
Great. Like the word stoked. Joe, thanks for the inspiration.
Thanks, Linda and Carl.
And thanks a lot,
Joe.
We'll
see you later today, Joe.
Sounds great.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're listening to us here on 1400 and you're getting a little scratchy on the sound or you're driving around, we're also on 1670, 10,000 big watts. And if you're calling in, it's not just 221-1402. If you're out of the area, you can call us at 1-800-521-1989. We're going to take a quick break here. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the experts in jewelry, watch repair, gold, diamonds, and any kind of jewel you could possibly desire. Check it out.
Hey, Kay, we've got a correction from yesterday. Yesterday we had the tank people on the Transmission Agency of Northern California, the land grab kings of the North State. Somebody said yesterday, one of our people in here said yesterday, that Paul Huser, our REU czar, was the only one that voted against the extension to give people time to talk about this and to bring their concerns in. It was extended from the end of April to July 31st. The comment was made was that Paul Huser was the only one that voted against that. Well, I was summarily pummeled yesterday via the email by Mark Beecham, who sent me a link. And essentially what it is Paul seconded the motion to extend the time for the people to make comments on July 31st. So Paul did vote in favor of that extension. So I just want people to know that. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to come back and address a little bit more today about some of the other things going on with Tank that we have found out also by other our other listeners who have emailed us. But there's a lot of things going on today, and we have a couple of guests. If you've got, if you're on the phone to talk about something that's happened in City Council, we will get to you in just a couple of minutes. So let's start with Bill Wagner and Corky Metcalf, who are both from the Exchange Club of Reading.
And you want to talk about Air Show 09. These are the guys that helped put it together. And good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So why don't you just give us the rundown of what's going on with and the dates.
Air Show 2009, the Blue Angels are back September 26th and 27th at the Reading Municipal Airport. It's our 21st show in 27 years. We're really excited. We have a lot of new acts that we haven't had before, and that's what we're announcing today. We've previously said we had the Golden Knights and the Blue Angels and Eddie Andrini, who's been here forever, a staple of our show. But now we have some new stuff to talk about.
Yeah, this air show, we're going to have some aircraft that have not been here before, as well as some that have. It's on a Warbirds theme. These are aircraft that were associated with the World War II era, a couple of training aircraft that pilots learned to fly, and then also the P-40 Warhawk, the F-6 Hellcat, which were a couple of the fighters that flew in the war. We have a Japanese Zero that will actually be doing dogfighting with the Hellcat, which was the primary Japanese.
So who do you think is going to win?
I think everybody will come back safely.
They know who's supposed to win.
I understand that this Zero is pretty famous because it was the last kamikaze plane, right?
Well, it was basically the Hellcat and the Zero fought all over the all over the Pacific, and there's only allegedly only three Zeros still flying.
Oh, is that right? Well, I was being a little facetious there anyway.
Now, this has been put together by the Exchange Club. Could you tell our listeners, what is the Exchange Club?
Community's a group of about 40 men and women, community service, like Lions, Kiwanis, and do a lot of things in the community. We have a scholar-athlete program. We have the Peace Officer of the Year, the Firefighter of the Year. We do high school scholarships. We've been doing Special Olympics for more than 30 years. Thanks to the Air Show, we help fund the majority of the funding for the firefighting facility in Happy Valley, where firefighters get live fire training. It's the only place north of Sacramento where they get that other than when they go out on their first call.
So, and there's only like 40 of you in this group?
It's a pretty small group.
It is. It seems like you all...
But it sounds effective. The 40 are very effective.
And we also have a large support group of people that would just want to help with the air show and also spouses. So that the group, the amoeba-like air show committee is larger than that.
Well, I've gone to a number of air shows, and I've always enjoyed them. And the ones you have here are just spectacular. Now coming back with the Blue Angels, is that right?
That's right.
That's correct.
That's going to be great, too.
And Golden Knights.
Well, you know, that's the Army jump team, and they spend a lot of time in the air and traveling throughout the world jumping. I've had friends that have been on that team before. So,
well, what else, gentlemen? Where can we get tickets and the date?
Okay, well, like I said, September 26th and 27th at the Reading Municipal Airport. Right now, tickets are on sale at www.readingairshow.com. That's www.readingairshow.com. And the general admission tickets are there. They're $10 pre-sale. They'll be $15 at the gate for adults. Children are $5 anytime. And also tickets to our semi-exclusive frontline area, the flight deck, where they have frontline seating, catered food and drink all day long. Those are $65 now through June 30th, and then they're going to jump up to $95. So people have the rest of this month to get those tickets.
Cocktails? Cocktails?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds like the best seat in the house right there.
Okay, great venue.
Let's go to the phones here real quick. Nancy, good morning.
I'm with United Way, and we are working in collaboration with the Exchange Club, and I just wanted to let everybody know that we are taking ticket orders and sales at the United Way at 2280 Benton Drive, and have folks come on by and they have offered a small proceed to go to United Way for our help and assistance. So thank you, Exchange Club, and everybody come on out and buy your tickets.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Nancy. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We've got a bunch of people calling in on a number of different subjects. We're going to get to you all right away. It's Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our guests today have been Bill Wagner, who is the chairman of the air show, or are you the chairman of the Exchange Club?
Chairman of the air show.
Of the air show, and Corky Metcalf, who is the military procurement officer, and we used to call them scroungers. We'd like to thank you for being on. And now, tell us one more time when it's going to be and how they can get tickets.
It's going to be September 26th and 27th. You can go to www.readingairshow.com and order tickets there. $65 now will get you into flight deck through the end of June. After that, the tickets will go up to $95. General admission are $10 before the show and $15 at the show.
Children are $5 all the time.
Okay.
This is a great family event to go to.
David, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask Bill if there's any truth to this inner circle stuff.
Ah, yes, the inner circle. The inner circle, but it's a very big circle now. It has grown by leaps and bounds over the years. It's an old air show story, which we do not have time for. But
next time you come on, we're going to have you all back on in August so we can talk about it one more time, because I guess you all are still adding acts to this, or attractions, I guess I should say, not acts, because you're risking your life out there.
So yeah, we're hoping. We've got other feelers out for a couple of pretty good-looking attractions, if we can land them.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait to see this one. Okay, hey, well, thank you very much for coming in. Any last thoughts here?
Yeah, just the last one. The other warbird we've got out there that's being sponsored by the Disabled American Veterans is the Mitchell B-25. It is a World War II light medium bomber that will be a static and a flying demonstration.
Love that bomber.
Yeah, beautiful aircraft. So
they have, in fact, I think they have some of our firefighters, our aerial tankers, look like those old B-25s, in fact.
They do.
So
that was a plane that Doolittle flew to in the raid over Tokyo.
Yeah, 30 seconds over Tokyo. They took them off an aircraft carrier. They never thought they could do that. They went in and bombed Tokyo. Said, hey, you want a war? Here we go.
So not only is it a wonderful display of showmanship with planes, it's historical as well. I'm sure that several generations would enjoy the show. 26th, 27th of September, mark your calendars. We'll have you guys back on. Maybe we can have some of the people that will be at the show come on in as well.
Absolutely. We'll try and get as many people on here that are putting on that show, especially our military and our representatives from that. So thanks very much, man, and thanks so much for what y'all are doing for our community.
Well, thank you for having us.
Hey, no problem. Now, everybody knows is that yesterday we talked about, and we're going to have it again tonight, City Council's meeting tonight they're going to talk about money for Turtle Bay, but they're also going to talk about smoking regulations. Charles, thank you so much for waiting.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, did you get my email?
Yes, I did. You sent me a couple of them, right?
By mistake when I accidentally pushed the tab and spacebar.
I didn't notice that would work like that. You know, after that, I kind of like played around with it. I went, ooh, that could be a problem. Okay.
The one I intended to send is a much longer one.
Oh, well, I
did
got
you get
that
longer one.
I certainly did. So, Charles is against restrictions on smoking.
Well.
But not because of smoking.
It's the whole liberty issue. I mean, once they succeed against that, they're not going to just sit idly by and twiddle their thumbs and say, oh, gee, didn't we do a wonderful thing? They're going on to other targets. And they're going to take they're going to take another salami slice and another salami slice and another salami slice.
Yeah, we used to call it putting a camel gets his nose in the tent, and the first thing you know, the camel's in the tent with you. Here's my concern, Charles, is that this was put on the agenda Thursday night. Nobody knew about it. I was called Monday morning by a very surprised person in the
Inner circle.
In the inner circle. No, not the inner circles, but just somebody that would know. Called me to tell me about it. And the thing is this, is you've got three people making this decision for all of us.
Right.
You know, that one has not been discussed. Now, and I would say, you know, people go, well, that's what they're elected for. But these elected representatives are also ones that gave us tank because they didn't understand what it was, because mm-hmm. it was on a consent vote. The other thing, too, is that here we are with problems in budgeting, police and firemen being cut off. They can't figure out where to get the money from. And they're making these decisions. You know, I mean, I see somewhat lackluster leadership here, that there ought to be enough time for people to at least talk about this. You
right.
know, this is, I don't smoke, you know, but when you start talking about cutting off smoking to every facility that the city owns in this in Reading, does that mean the grounds of the Civic Center? Does that mean the rodeo grounds? Does that mean the park or any of the parks, aquatic centers, anything? Is that what they're talking about? Everything?
Well, that's the potential.
Of course it is. And again, it's a liberty issue. It's not, oh, you shouldn't smoke. It's a liberty issue that, I mean, smokers are not criminals.
Right.
Anyway, hey, look, we've got to take a quick break. But Charles, I appreciated that email. And
before I go, I want to say two things. One is, everybody who cares about this issue needs to show up tonight at the city council.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Hey, Charles, we are on a hard break right now. Hang on until we get to the other side. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, finest tobacco emporium, finest walk-in humidor that I've ever been in. And not only that.
It's huge.
It's huge. But also, Espresso Joe's. Now, if you go down there today, they are having a big sale on the wild side. If you got, you know, a motorcycle and you need clothing, you need accessories, it's right next to Tobacco and Brew. And they're having great sales down there.
They've got chaps and leathers.
Everything.
T-shirts,
bandanas, you name it, they've got it.
Great stocking stuffers.
There you go. So, Joe and Shelley, Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Okay, going back to the city council, 7 o'clock tonight in the city chambers. I think I'm going to wander on down there to see what's going on. They're going to be discussing money cut off to Turtle Bay. They're going to be discussing the smoking issue. You know, they're going to be discussing, you know, these are things that have a huge impact on us. And we need to get down there. Now, yes, they have cut back the amount of time you can talk about subjects to 30 minutes at the beginning of it. And then, you know, of course, at the end, 2 or 3 hours later, you can speak. But the idea is that you're down there and that you can see what's going on and that you can express your feelings. Oh, and they're also going to be talking about the police station tonight, from what I understand. Oh, yeah, about refitting certain areas. So this is a big night at the city council. Police station refitting. They're going to talk about Turtle Bay funding, and they're going to talk about smoking and eliminating smoking from everywhere in the on the city facilities. Now, that asks other questions, too. Does that mean streets and whatever? But here's my other question. Here's my other question about this whole thing is how are you going to enforce this? We're already cutting police back. We're getting rid of the community officers, service officers. So what are you going to do? If you're in the park, somebody smoking, you call the police station. Is that a 911 call? Somebody smoking in the park. And are they going to come down? Is it going to be, what, a ticket? Is it going to be, like, of course, you know, with city, you know, the way we do tickets, right, it could be an $8,000 ticket. But.
And can you go to your car?
Yeah. I mean, can you smoke in your car? But if it's on city grounds, maybe not. I don't know. You know, I think that this is a knee-jerk reaction to something, and I think that I don't know if it's been thought out. I would hope is that three of the city council members would just say, hey, let's put a hold on this. We've got a lot more important things to talk about.
Hey, we're taking your calls, 221-1402. You know, tell us what's on your mind. I have something I want to talk about.
Okay.
Can I?
Sure.
Regarding you.
Well, that was...
Regarding us, regarding this weekend's wedding. We're going to talk about customer service and how people, not all people, but people who work maybe for a chain that really don't have an investment in the company except for to get... maybe minimum wage or whatever, it doesn't matter. But a kind of a lazy approach to helping a customer. And we have a personal story about what happened. We rented a tux here in Redding, and actually we could pick it up in Sacramento. And Tuxedo Den in Redding was very good, very helpful. And then we picked it up.
Can't say enough about the
they
ones
were great.
Up here.
So we went to the Tuxedo Den, and it was on Saturday at Sears. The reason I'm telling you this story is because I would love to hear from you, our listeners, what you think was the right thing to do. So we take the tux out, and Carl puts it on that night for the wedding, and a button falls off.
The only button.
The only button in the front.
The only button.
Okay, now, and this sounds trivial, but if we hadn't been in a place where my mother happened to have a needle and thread, you would have been, like, frantic. What if it was a last minute? You're in the wedding party. You can't make it on time, and the button falls off. So when we take it back on Sunday, Carl brings it up to the gal behind the counter, and her attitude was?
Well, I'm sorry, but that's your problem. You know, when it left here, it had a button on there. And I said, but don't you all inspect these? Well, it's your problem.
It's your problem.
This wasn't like a $22 tux. It was much more. But the thing is if they just said, gosh, you know, we're sorry that happened. You know, that doesn't usually, gosh, it was an anomaly, anything. But it was like, hey, it's your problem. And here's what's going, you know, when I see that, as some people have talked to me about, you know, we've got businesses here in Redding and that are very caring. You know, they care about their business, so they care about their customers. Maybe it's that when you get to other places that they don't. But to me, if you give your money to a company, you deserve at least a modicum of respect for it. So the only thing you can do is not go back there.
Say I'm sorry. Well, we'll go back to the Tuxedo Den in Redding,
it's a chain that you don't know what you're going to get when you go from spot to spot. At McDonald's, at least you know a hamburger at McDonald's and one McDonald's is going to taste the same if you're in Hong Kong or if you're in Wyoming.
Well, anyway, so the question would be is, what do you think is the right thing? Should they have had it said, I'm sorry, sir, next time you come in, we'll give you a percentage off, or here, take a pen, or, you know, just, I'm so sorry that happened. Just a kindness instead of that's your problem attitude.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, let's go back to Tank again. We got this. We got another email on this. And what they said was the Tank line ends at Ravenwood, California. A Sigma energy line will now run from the new coal-powered plant in Nevada to the Tank line. And Sigma owns Southern California Edison. And the only reason for this line is the state of California prohibits coal-fired power plants within the state. So what they've done is if we had put that coal-powered plant here, they wouldn't have to be run. The line wouldn't have to be run through Northern California. But we've got laws against that. Russell Hunt sent that to us. I'm not sure on if all of that is true, but it sounds like it. What we do know is that when they start putting out these lines from the transmission agency here, is that it's going to be used to bring in energy from other areas. And we also know is that Redding Electric Utility has 3% of it. We also know this is going to be a $45 million buy-in from Redding that's going to be spent. It's not all in 1 year, but be spent over the future. Now, the future few years. Now, it gives us back, though, 50 megawatts of power. And it's green power, supposedly. Now, this is what they say, but they don't know for sure. They don't know for sure it's going to be that much. It could be a lot less. If it is that much, that's a lot of power. You can sell it back. But then, is this the way to do it? What are the alternatives to this? Can we use existing lines? Can we use existing right-of-ways? Do we need to put another 600 miles of, and it's a 1,000-foot right-of-way, by the way. So you could be looking at putting in two strings of towers. And everything that was said yesterday is true, is that if it goes across your property, property value is going to drop. I mean, it's a proven fact. I can't imagine that they would go up with power lines running through your property. That right now banks are not loaning money because they don't know where the lines are going to be. And the bottom line is if you don't have to do it, why are we doing it? Is it because we don't get along well with each other? Is that it? Or is it just something else? And of course, why was this voted on without anybody knowing about it? Why was it on a consent calendar instead of being talked about in an open forum? Well, these are just some of the questions that were brought up yesterday, and I hope that you all are wondering about this too, just like I am.
not that we think it's a conspiracy, but there's some kind of bigger picture here for me personally, where I just feel that when things aren't really spelled out for us in a way that it's like pillaging, it's like raping the land, and we have no say so in what you're doing to our property. It's just being bowled over. And I had the strangest feeling yesterday leaving the show.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, we have to take a quick break here, is that if it's not discussed, and if it's not discussed in open form, then why isn't it? Why was it just on a consent calendar? That's my question. And these are the same people that are voting on smoking ordinances and our budget and all that. You know, our job, you know, we elected people, but they work for us. It's our job to supervise them. And the way to supervise them is to find out what's going on when they meet. And the way that goes is being told a day before it happens or 2 days before it happens is not really the best. Why can't that agenda be put out on a Wednesday morning instead of a Thursday night? Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS.
We see it several times a week. Someone across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400, KQMS. Art, good morning.
Yeah, hi, you two.
Good morning.
Now, you got my attention yesterday when you were talking about Tank. You mentioned that this proposed line is supposed to go up to Ravensdale. I know Ravensdale well. I've hunted antelope and deer up there literally for decades. And I can tell you the only person who had any inkling of sanity, the only thing they'd run to Ravensdale would be a crank telephone hooked up to a 12-volt car battery. There's absolutely nothing in Ravensdale. It's open, flat, sagebrush country, good game country, surrounded by low volcanic hills. A question about this is, does Tank have the power of eminent domain? Because if they do, and they want to run that line, believe me, they will run it. I don't support it. I like the open spaces up at Ravensdale. I've camped up there many a time, hunting and just enjoying the country. But if they have that power of eminent domain, they'll use it.
Oh, that's true. And Ravensdale, I understand it, and I think you described it perfectly, is a sense that they're looking at for the wind power, wind generators up there.
Uh-huh. And well, it's the big outdoors, Carl. Believe me, there's nothing there. A few very widely scattered ranches. It's really, looks as it is 150 years ago.
Well, you know, and, you know, it's a shame that you have to do something, you know, if you're going to put all these wind generators up there, because I don't know if you've seen the ones in Southern California, but
I have.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Then. I do. I know exactly what you're saying.
So that's a problem.
On the way to Palm Springs.
On the way to Palm Springs and other places up there. Now, the thing is that, of course, we're looking to use renewable energy. But what I don't see us doing is using everything in our arsenal yet. So I asked a question to somebody and said, well, why can't they start putting these, you know, let's find out if these are worth the time and money and effort to put all these lines in. Let's see if that, you know, if there is enough wind generated up there. See if there is whatever it is. And the answer to that is that this is going to be a huge undertaking, $300 million or more, to build the wind turbines. And they're not going to do it unless there's a way of getting the energy out of there. So that's why the lines have to go in first.
I've spent a lot of time there, Carl. I have never noticed that it was a particularly windy spot.
Well,
most of the wind might be coming from the proponents of this line, but my real serious question is this. Do they have the power of eminent domain? That's really what this is going to turn on. Because if they do, I don't care what the opposition is, they will use it.
Well, if they do, that's a good question. I believe they do. Right now that they are using... they just want easements. They do not want the property itself. So, but can they use it? I don't know. That's a good question, and that's something we'll find out.
Who'd want to live next to that, brother?
Well, that's the thing they're saying, and I think they can get within 60 or 70 feet of your house. So you've got 500,000 volts going, you know. So at night you don't need to turn on the lights. Everybody else in your house glows.
Well, I do know that when there's a proposed electrical line or power line, this is true that a right-of-way agent goes to the landowner and tries to negotiate and says that your neighbors and the neighbor before you and the neighbor up the street, they're all signed this, and you have to sign it because this is proposed. We are doing it. Now, you either can can make 10,000 or 15,000, whatever it is, for us to use an easement on your property.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, it will be eminent domain. So,
Listen, I may be an old reprobate. I say, leave it alone. I like the big outdoors. I like the big quiet. I like the big wildness of Ravensdale country. And that's why they choose these things.
You know,
because there's nobody there to oppose them.
Yeah. Well, they've got their, and according to Tank, and this is Tank's words, is that it's going to cover 650 miles. It's going to touch 6,000 property owners.
I believe it.
And it's going to go over places that people are just going to be absolutely flabbergasted when they see him putting a tire over the wetlands that the Ducks Unlimited people are buying.
Don't drop the subject, Carlin. You know, the best thing that people opposing this might do, they need to get the greenies going. They stick the greenies on these people, they'll be done for. They can stop anything over a frog, a minnow, or a butterfly.
Well, you know, they were talking about that, and they can say, well, these towers and these cables are dangerous to the raptors, and there's already an answer to that. So, I mean, the opposition, but don't worry. We are not going to drop this. This is
don't
something.
Don't drop it, brother.
We're
you
not dropping
on it.
This is something that the rest of the media has given, you know, lip service to it. This is something that we are going to pursue. This is something that I think that the people in the North State really, really have to take a good look at, because this is not going to be the only thing they do. There are alternatives to this, and I don't know why they don't want to talk about it. Hey, Art,
Do you remember my alternative? California needs to be two states.
Oh, yeah, that one works.
I know I'm out here alone. I'm telling you, I believe it.
Well, you know, the problem with that is we have all the water in the higher intellectual capacity up here. So. Okay, Art, thanks a lot.
The truth.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Carlin DeBott, Free Fire Radio on News Talk, 1400 KQMS. Okay, intellectual capacity. Okay, maybe not. But we're a bunch of thinkers and doers up here. News Talk, 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Carl and Linda. How are you guys?
We're
fine.
Great.
What's going on, Greg?
Hey, listen, we need to test this at the Redding City Council on the basis of the Brown Act, because if, in fact, there was not due notification 72 hours in advance, they're in violation of the Brown Act, in which case anything that took place at that particular meeting, even if it's on a consent agenda, would have to be revisited or thrown out. If they did give 72 hours notice, then the secondary test would be whether or not it was a sufficiently public means of notification. If it was strictly a posting that was at the city council offices or something like that, that may be deemed as insufficient as far as Brown Act is concerned, and therefore, again, would be subject to re-notification. Even if that is the circumstance, this still is not a closed matter, because on a consent agenda, if someone had asked one of the council members to remove it, it can be removed and actually placed into an action item so that it can be heard. Anything that goes on to a consent agenda is deemed to be non-controversial, and that was probably a mistake on their part. So I think pressure needs to be brought to bear that this needs to be put onto a public hearing, an action item, so that it can actually be discussed openly. And so they need to revisit this, and we definitely here locally can compel them to do that.
Well, you know, the thing is that it happened last year, and so they had on a consent agenda. And to say that it's a if it's a controversial item, they should have been on. And I think we can go back and revisit this. Now, what we're trying to do is get some people on on the pro-tank side on this, so we can bring out the other part, you know, bring out the other side, which is what we try to do on the show. But this is, it's way too important for this just to be voted on a consent. Because if they didn't really understand it, and according to Patrick Jones, when he went out to that first tank meeting, he had no concept it was going to be like that what they were talking about. And I imagine most of the other council members didn't know either. So, hey, Greg, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Sure. My pleasure. Take care.
You bet. Hey, Dennis, you got like 30 seconds.
Okay. Thanks for having me on here. I'm from the Forest Landowners Association of California, and this coming Saturday we're having a live demonstration of how to protect your trees from fire, insects, and disease. Event is from 9:30 to 4. We're going to meet at the Allward Fire Station on Highway 44, and go out and see what practice you can do to protect your forest.
Okay, it's going to be where?
It's at in Shingletown.
Oh, in Shingletown.
Right.
Okay.
And, you can, for more information, call me at 474-4838.
474-4838.
Correct.
Hey, thanks a lot for your phone call, Dennis.
Thank you.
Robert, good morning.
Hello, Carl. I've got a quick comment. What you experienced with your Redding merchant, I've lived here all my life, and that's a typical Redding merchant.
The Redding merchant was wonderful. It was the Sacramento chain.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, that's a pretty typical response in Redding. I guess I just caught part of your call.
Oh, okay.
The other thing is the tank project and the solar and wind power stuff. You talked about other alternatives. Right now, a great deal of our power comes from hydroelectric, but by ruling from the State Energy Commission, large hydro is not considered renewable power.
Right.
Therefore, everybody in California is paying their T-Boone Pickens tax to build these tank lines and all these supposedly more renewable resources.
Robert, we have reached the end of our show. We're going to be talking tank a lot, so I want you to keep calling back because we got to keep this in the forefront of our public. Thanks a lot. This is Carl Lindebot and Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?